Morning. The scripture reading today is from John 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 30, and then we do 39 through 42. It can be found in the Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along on page 1652. This scripture follows the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus, which is found in chapter 3. It might be interesting to see how the encounter with Nicodemus and the woman at the well are contrast or similar, and maybe the response of Nicodemus and the woman at the well. It is important to note that the woman at the well is a Samaritan. She's unknown. She's unnamed. While Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a member of the ruling council, the Jewish ruling council, and he's a man of status. Huge difference between the two. It is important to note that the Jews and the Samaritans were divided by centuries of hostility and prejudice, even though they had a common heritage. Jews considered Samaritans heretics, foreigners, and unclean. They therefore avoided contrast with them. Here is the word of the Lord. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town ahead of him to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews, yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? And leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more were believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our ears and our eyes to receive your word this day afresh, that we may be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is the third Sunday of Lent, and we've been given a great and long text on which many, many sermons have been written. And today, more sermons will be preached around the world, for this is a lectionary text that Christian churches and Catholic churches, which are Christian churches, follow in teaching the Word of God. During my preaching class, one of our old professors said to us, You may not have a great sermon every week, but you can be sure you'll always have a great text. Well, today we're going to hear the text in more than one way, and I know that it will speak to you if you open your hearts to where you are on this journey of faith. My hope is that today you'll receive both a great text that will stay in your heart and a sermon that may help you along the way too. It's my prayer that as we worship and listen to the message and the text contained in it, we too will come to see more clearly that Jesus is the Messiah, the one chosen, who came to dwell among us, the one who can offer us living water, amazing grace that we may walk in grace and know that we have a resource within to help us through all life's circumstances. In the Gospel of John, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well whose thirst for belonging was so intense. Her response to Jesus offering her the living water was an emphatic, Sir, give me this water. Sir, give me this water. Like the women at the well, we too may be dehydrated and not even know it. Bradley P. Holt begins a book, Thirsting for God, A Brief History of Christian Spirituality, that the first signs that our bodies are dehydrating and we need water are not immediate and they're not strong. We may not even know that we are dehydrated. We might feel a little uneasy and tired, and we might just head to the refrigerator to get a snack, when what we really need is a tall glass of cold water to quench our thirst. Well, the same is true in our spiritual thirst. Halt says that we may feel restless, anxious, depressed, and try to satisfy our needs with retail therapy, maybe a quick fix of chocolate, or sometimes unhealthy relationships, when what we really, really need is to know that we are loved, that we belong, that we're not wandering through the wilderness of our lives without anyone, and that there are resources that God offers to us through living water, through grace, that we can walk with that inner strength that is within when we come to know Christ. With that thought in mind, let us turn to the Message by Eugene Peterson and see if this passage from the Gospel of John in contemporary language speaks to our spiritual thirst.
Would you give me a drink of water?
Why do you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?
If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would ask me for a drink, and you would never thirst again. The water I give will be an eternal spring within, the fountains of eternal life.
Sir, you don't have a bucket to draw water with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get living water? Are you a better man than my ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, watered his livestock and his sons, and passed it on to us?
Go call your husband.
Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty and won't have to come back to this well again.
Go call your husband.
I have no husband.
That's nicely put. I have no husband. But you have five husbands. And you're now living with a man that's not your husband. You spoke the truth, sure enough.
So you're a prophet. Let me ask you this. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. Yet you Jews insist that the only place to worship is Jerusalem, right?
Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans, with worship Father neither here at the mountain or in Jerusalem, you worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the daylight. But the time is coming it has in fact come. It is who you are and why you live that count before God. And the people and the Father is out looking for you. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in neither worship. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirit, their true selves in adoration.
I don't know about that, but I do know the Messiah is coming. When He arrives, we will know it all.
I am here. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further.
Just then the disciples came back, and they were shocked. They couldn't believe that He, Jesus, was talking with this kind of woman. No one said a thing, but they were all thinking, and their faces showed it. The woman took the hint, and leaving her water pot, went back to the village, and she told the people.
Come, see a man who knows everything I did. He knows me inside and out.
They heard.
Do you think this could be the Messiah?
He is the Messiah.
They went out to see Him for themselves. Some of the Samaritans in the village committed themselves to Him because of the woman's testimony.
He knew me inside and out, and He accepted me.
He is the Messiah.
And many more people entrusted their lives to Him when they heard what He had to say. Some came to the village and said,
"We no longer believe just because of your say-so. We have now heard Him and know for sure that He is the Savior of the world."
He is the Messiah.
Amen. Thank you. Did you hear a truth in these scriptures today that speaks to you, that could speak to a thirst that you are beginning to recognize in your own life? It's amazing. This woman was just coming to fill a water jug at a time of day when she didn't expect to see anyone. She was a person that was rejected and not thought of as a human being almost. And there was Jesus just resting, and He recognized her and He knew her need and began to speak to her. She knew that she was looking for something that was greater than just the water. Jesus offered her living water, and while she wanted it, she couldn't believe that the gift was for her when she thought of who she was. But Jesus knew, and he offered this healing to her. Jesus set aside anything that she has done or who she was in the eyes of the world. He saw a woman who was thirsty, a woman who needed to be loved and to be accepted, a woman with great potential. And do you know that she is the first evangelist and most effective evangelist that is recorded in all the Gospels? Jesus saw that potential in her and reached out to her and offered her the living water. Jesus sets aside all that we've done or left undone in our lives. For God does not matter who you are or where you're from What matters is that we seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. I can feel this as a call to come to God in humbleness, to come without pretense, as we seek the truth of God's grace. To be who we really are, with all our bumps and our bruises, with our past, and leave it with him, and receive his grace, receive his love, and know that we too have potential to walk with him and to walk by grace in a new way. I'm assured that we can do the same, you and me. And we can be blessed with this living water. And we can be blessed by sharing it with one another in the fellowship of the church, encouraging one another along the journey. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And he's calling you and me to come and to drink this gift of grace. Let us pray. As disciples of old, we too are pilgrims in differing stages of spiritual growth and maturity. For some, this day shall pass by unnoticed. For others, it's a new beginning. And for others, there is more doubt in thee and in themselves. And their faith is so shallow that they don't realize how much they are loved. We pray, O Lord, that we might receive this gift of grace that you have spoken to the woman at the well, and that we too may walk by grace from this day. Amen.